You know that one goal that you keep setting year after year after year? Or the thing you know that you can do if you can just break it down into bite-sized pieces, but you never really get the time or, frankly, the motivation to do that. So the big thing, the goal, the challenge, the resolution, the plan that you know is going to get you over the finish line or that you know is going to get you to the next level, the book, the podcast, the blowing up all your proposals and redoing them, the house planning, whatever the case may be, you know that if you can just sit down and map it out, you can accomplish it. And yet you don't. And I don't. Well, Podsters, we brought someone in who does. Kathleen Lawson is a business strategist who actually sits down with business owners and professionals and shows them how to plan, hold yourself accountable, and make these big, gnarly goals actually fun and, more importantly, achievable. We spend a lot of time in this episode talking about how to achieve those goals, and that includes setting your year up in 12 weeks. It makes sense. It works. I've done it. She does it. Lots of successful people do it. And after listening to this, I guarantee that you will do it. So let's go. Are you ready to speak up, stand out, and get your seat at the table? If so, you're in the right place. Welcome to Unmute Yourself, the podcast where you'll get real-life anecdotes and actionable tools for you to step into your strengths, debunk imposter syndrome, truly know your worth, and show up like you own the room every time. I'm your host, Nancy Medoff, who did the thing and followed my passion for empowering women like you to unleash that inner spark and become who you know you are meant to be. I'm a diehard foodie with a raging Skittles habit who will not stop until women everywhere unmute themselves and truly thrive at work, at home, or wherever you may be. Let's do this. Welcome back, Podsters. It is new year, new me energy. It is all the January things happening. And I'm going to jump right into it because I am so excited to have this guest. I was going to call you the Taylor Swift of business, but I don't think that really does you justice. Then I was going to call you the Tony Robbins because I don't know if anybody's seen the Netflix special, I Am Not Your Guru. He did a really cool Netflix special about what he does to get himself into the zone, which is really kind of cool.
Cold thing every morning.
He does the cold plunge, I just did that recently. Oh, I know where I did it. I was out in Lenox and I did it. It was pretty cool. I'm not sure I would build one, but anyway. So my guest is Kathleen Lawson. She's a business strategist. She's going to explain what that means. But in a nutshell, for me, Kathleen is my go-to for like everything as it relates to running my business. She has helped me in the past manage huge projects. She has helped me get out of my own head. She has helped me, and I really want to spend some time on this, time blocking, the difference between when I block time and then actually do what I block the time for. And when I don't is a game changer. And we share a love for the same journal. So before I get into it too much, welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm very excited to do this with you.
Oh, and by the way, Kathleen is also an OG Podster. So there's that too. You might've been our first listener.
Oh, probably. Yeah, maybe. I probably was.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So tell the Podsters what you do.
I help business owners achieve their vision they have for their business. And so that means putting all the pieces in place, breaking it down. We put all the structure in place. We put all the routines in place so that you can run your business with intention and with confidence.
Okay. I love all of this. So for those of you who do not own your own business yet, or do not own your business and won't ever, it's just not your jam. All of the principles that Kathleen teaches and coaches and shares can be applied to how to run your career, 100%. So I want to make sure those of you that are listening that are in the corporate world, she came from the corporate world. We'll talk about that in a second. To me, what Kathleen does is what she said is to put structure around your goals so that you can achieve them, right?
Yep, absolutely. Right.
Yeah. And it's so funny because you said structure, routine, details, That to me is like taking a hot poker and sticking it into my eyeball.
For most of my clients, it's funny because when I look back, I end up working with a lot of creative people. I work mostly with people who would self-describe as creative, and they come to me very often with resistance to the structure. And I think it's because they think it's going to somehow like wreck their creativity or kind of get in the way of the inspiration. And so they're often very resistant, but then they come around and then some people are kind of know, they realize, you know what, this is what I'm going to need to get any further. Because what happens is you get going and just on the energy of your excitement and everything you're doing, you get a certain down that line. And then you hit that wall, the ceiling, because you can't keep up leveling and growing your business if you're just winging everything. Like you, at some point you've got to stop and put some things in place in order to get over that wall, over that hump. And that's where people end up with me at that point.
I love it. I love it. So I was taking copious notes as Kathleen was talking. So a few things. I'm not a details person. I have never been a details person. And I was in denial. She's laughing. I was in denial for a long time until a client, I remember this years ago, a client said to me, "You're not a details person." And I said, "No, yeah, I'm a details person." He said, "Listen to me. I'm your client and I'm telling you, you are not a details person." And it wasn't until he told me that I was able to kind of step into that and say, okay, that's not my forte. So when I fast forward in my business, I either need to hire someone to do it for me or I need to do it myself. I need to actually do it. If I need to hire someone to do it for me, I need to be able to tell them what I need done. Mm-hmm. And if you block out and resist the details, I can't just say, I want to be a global keynote speaker. Okay, well, what are your talking points? What's your speaker reel going to look like? What is your support going to look like? What's your payment method going to look like? It will all fall apart if you don't have these systems in place. Yep. And but you can do it manually for a little while, but to Kathleen's point, she said everything I wanted to say, that if you really want to do the thing, you can't only do what you like to do. And let me clarify that. One of my favorite things to say is you get to do what you love to do and only what you love to do all along and get paid for doing it. That's your business or your career. Yes. But for example, I can't only go speak and then not sit down and create an invoice. I can't do that. I won't get paid. Right. So the details, or the planning, as much as people may shy away from it, that's the only way to level up your game, regardless of where you are, which I think is exactly what you just said, is it not?
Yeah. And the other thing is that you business owners, you show up totally different when you have the back end together, because you don't feel like an imposter. It's like you have that structure behind you. You know that if somebody calls, they're going to get a response and they're going to get the proposal and they're going to get the invoice. And you show up so much more confident because you have all the systems behind you supporting you, and you just look more professional. You just look better and bigger. And so I think there's a lot to that. I see people, we put this back end together and they change. They instantly blossom.
It's a great point. It's a really great point. It also takes you from a jobby, right? Is this your job or is it a hobby? To this is a business and I am worth what I'm charging. Mm. And part of that is, I'm so glad you brought this up, because we just had a conversation about this. I was talking with a client. It was a potential one-on-one client and there was discussion about pricing, and I was able to confidently support and stay with my pricing. And part of that is because I didn't have to then go, because my systems are automated, I didn't have to then go and create the proposal and again, have that uncomfortable feeling of, well, it's a lot of money. Maybe I should just tell him that I'll do it for less and send it out. And then, oh, now I get a follow up. And what if he says no? And blah, 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 blah. And then, okay, so this is what happened. So I had the discussion with the client. Automatically, the proposal goes out. As a matter of fact, I mistakenly sent out a contract because there was a glitch in my system. And 3 days later, all of a sudden, I get an email that says your contract is back. So yeah. There was no lollygagging or, you know, justification. It was, here's your contract and
I stepped away from it, and within a matter of days, I got it back. So that's a long way of saying that. And by the way, did you all notice that Kathleen said imposter feeling like an imposter? Oh, gee, thank you. That's a really good point. It's a really good point. And yeah. So tie that back to, cause you came from the corporate world. Let's say you're in sales, cause a lot of my, podsters are, or, you know, let's say you're just starting out in your career. Tell them how the systems and the processes will help them be more confident.
Well, you know what? It's because you're making decisions ahead of time and not in the pressure of the moment. If you wait and always have to make decisions at the moment, that's a lot on your trying to think through that and on your mind. But when you have the systems in place, that means you've made the decisions ahead of time. You've decided, like the story you just told about your client, you decided the price before you ever talked to that right. particular client. You had the package together. So without the pressure of this particular client and thinking, oh, I wonder if they have the money to spend on this. And I wonder if they this and they that and whatever, you, without thinking about those people, you said, all right, this is what this package is. This is what it's going to cost. And so then when it was time to have that conversation, there was no emotion around it. There was no decision-making. It was already set. Yep. So I think that's the big thing. And so for anybody in the corporate world or the sales world, yeah, if you have all your systems in place, that you've got your pricing, you have your packages, you have the process that they have to go through, you know who's got to be involved and what's going to happen. I mean, you've made those decisions ahead of time. And that means you get to execute later without having to stop and make all the decisions all over again. That's what it really is. It's about taking the decision-making out of the moment.
I love it. And it allows, totally. And it allows you or me or whoever to do their best work.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like yes. we just said, I'm not a details person. So do I want to spend my time in the details? Nope. So if I get the systems and processes in place, that's done. And I can go be creative or write a book or work on my keynote or one-on-one coaching. It's a great point. Let's talk about time blocking, because I think time blocking, and this is for everybody, is yeah. the one thing in my life that has completely changed the game. So, and I did not know this existed, didn't know this was even a thing. So I'm going to ask Kathleen to talk about it while I plug in my computer. Tell me about time blocking.
Time blocking is blocking time to do specific tasks. And I've helped a lot of people with their time blocking. And what I have discovered is that there's like the spectrum of where, basically like how disciplined people can be. And some people can handle a lot of time blocking. I have a good friend who has this crazy color-coded calendar and she blocks 10 minutes at a time. And I tell you, she is so disciplined and does it. And she gets more done than anybody I know. And then you've got the other end of the spectrum, or maybe you can block something here or there and you can keep to that. And some people are in the middle. So you've got to kind of find where you are. Sometimes not everybody can be disciplined enough, but what ends up happening is that you find the times that you're going to take care of the most important things you need to get done. And that's really where I tell people to land, is that they've got to figure out how much time blocking they can handle and be disciplined about. But I always go to, what are your biggest priorities? Like, what are the things you absolutely have to get done next week? Let's block those. And you don't have to worry about every last little thing.
I love that. I totally love that. So for me, time blocking is, it's an appointment I make with myself to do a specific thing.
Yep.
To execute on something that's on my to-do list. So this is also interesting. Last week, maybe the week before, I was sitting at my desk and I'm like, why am I not more stressed out? I think it was last week. So we're recording this in December. So it was right before Christmas or a couple weeks before Christmas. And I'm like, why am I not like, and I got like with 500 to-do lists and all that stuff. And it was because I had time blocked. I don't do it all the time. And I should, even though should is one of the words I'm leaving behind in 2023, but I should time block more. I'm comfortable with that word there. It will help my business. Anyway, I had time blocked, and instead of taking my massive to-do list and rewriting it every day, I took my massive to-do list and there was a ton of stuff that was just checked off. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I actually have time because I executed on what I said I would do.
Right. Yep. I agree. And that is a great feeling when you have a couple of priorities, you block them and you get them done. It doesn't matter what's left sitting there because the most important things got done because you blocked them. And this totally works in the corporate world. I worked not too long ago with somebody who is in the corporate world. She's a executive level communications person and board relations and all that kind of stuff. And that's what we put into place for her was about kind of her weekly planning, which I think we're going to talk about a little later. But the time blocking. So helped her put a process in place where she was able to identify what are the priorities? When am I going to do them? We started with her. Let's get the meetings in place. And then you see where all your open time is. And these are the things that have to get done. When do you want to, you know, work on them? And you take into account, when's the best time for you? If it's a writing project and you're great in the morning and you can't write in the afternoon, well, then do it in the morning. You know, stop trying to do things that are not at the optimal time for you because you just waste a ton of time. I mean, and I know everyone knows what I'm talking about. You could work on a project for 3 hours in the afternoon or you can get it done in 45 minutes in the morning. I'm one of those. And some people it's the opposite, but you know what I mean? It's like, you got to do things when it's the best time for you to do them.
Totally. What I do is I'm a morning person. So I bang out all my most important tasks in the morning. And then the afternoon I save for my fun stuff.
Yep.
If it's whatever, my creative stuff, I'll do in the afternoon. Or oftentimes I won't do anything important after 2 p.m. I mean, I get up at 5. Right. So by 2 o'clock, I've had a 9 hour day.
I know.
I'm done. Yeah.
I do like coffee chats and things like that in that afternoon time that I can't focus.
Yeah.
So
it's yeah.
a good time just to kind of chit chat with somebody, get to know someone.
So that's a good segue too. I want to talk about this concept of a 12 week year, which I know you didn't invent because honestly, when I first heard this, I was rolling my eyes. I'm like, whatever, another guru's out there telling me how to run my business. And I'm like, whatever. I'm like, basically they're talking about quarterly planning, which makes sense. Makes sense. But yet was I doing it? No, I was not. I was like, here's what I want to do this year. Great. And then I was stressing myself out trying to do it all in January. So tell us about the 12-week year, what that means to you and how you work with your clients on that.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that there are definitely some businesses that have needs that they do need to look at things that on a longer cycle or annually. And so that's fine. But there are a lot of businesses and most that don't need to look at things on that time frame. It's a time frame we invented. And so we don't need to. And especially the service-based business owners that I tend to work with, I don't know that I've run into one yet that actually needed to be on an annual time frame. So it's really about the short-term planning. We do it 12 weeks at a time. And for a couple of reasons, one, practicality. I mean, if we're sitting here now and we're planning things out that for next November, I mean, you have no idea what's going to be going on in your business next November. You don't know what's going to be going on with your clients, with your competitors, with society in general. And I think the last couple of years have really proven that point. I mean, things have just been crazy. And so planning things way, way out just doesn't make sense. And you just don't have the information you need. Then you've got this whole sense of urgency. And it is really difficult to hold your focus for that long of a time and to get yourself in gear. And what most people would say is if they set an annual goal in January, let's say a sales goal or whatever it is, it's like, I don't need to really worry about that till fourth quarter. I've got, you push things off and you procrastinate because you've got so your goalpost is so far out that you can't even see it. So things get pushed off and procrastinated and you end up not getting as much done because you just sort of hang out for that long period of time until now it's like, oh, I've got to get going on this. And so you just don't get as much done. There's no sense of urgency, but a 12-week year or 12-week time period, you can see that. Like if we were setting that right now to say to start right after New Year's, that's end of March. That's not that far off. Like I have things on the calendar for that. Like that is something I can wrap my head around. I can figure out what I need to do and I'm going to get going because you know what? I want to get this done over the next couple of months. I want to get this project done. I want to hit this goal. I want to find, whatever it is I'm looking for in that time period. So that urgency it happens a lot easier in that time frame. So it's really, I think, about those things. It's about practicality. It's about creating a sense of urgency for yourself.
Yeah, for me, it keeps me focused because, you know, if I have a goal, let's say my goal is to write a new book, which it was and is, I'll procrastinate for 9 months on that. I have been. I mean, I did. I've been talking about writing a new book for a year. If I say I'm going to write a new book in Q1, let's say, so that's 12 weeks. So then this brings us to the next step, which is, okay, here's my goal. Here's how I'm going to break it down week by week. So walk the podsters through that.
Right. So when we do that, you've got to kind of figure out how are we going to measure it. In your case, it's a kind of a finite project. So it's like, well, when I finish the book, but that might just mean like, are you going to just write the book during that time? Or are you also going to get it up online? Are you going to start the promotional? Like what exactly is your goal and how will it be done? You know,
well, let's pause there because a lot of people that listen to this podcast want to either speak on stage or write a book. I'd say almost half the people I talk to want to write a book. So that's a great point. My goal is not that the measure is not the book is written. The measure is the book is written, the book is published, the book is marketed, the book has all the supplementals with it, and the book has a marketing plan. It's not, I'm going to write the book because I can write it and keep it on my computer for months. It's going to have a cover. It's going to have an audible version. It's going to have a paperback version. It's going to be listed here and I'm going to have a street team to help me promote it. That is the measure.
Okay. And that's very different from just writing the book.
Right,
so it's
right.
important to understand what the goal actually is and how you're going to measure it. And so for somebody else, maybe they're setting a sales goal. And so, and we don't need to look at the whole year because when you think about, you're the sales expert. So, but you know, you've got seasonality to businesses, you've got things going. And if you're an entrepreneur, you might have things going on in your own life. That means you don't work as much during this time. So rather than taking this year and just knocking it in 12, it's like, all right, what do I really want to do in January? And what do I want to do in February? So you can get a more thoughtful goal. So first of all, we want to measure what the goal is, and then we want to break it down into an action plan. And that is reverse engineering. And mm-hmm. So what you just talked about, there's a lot of pieces to that. So I wouldn't take on anything else during the next 12 weeks if you're going to do all of that, because that's a lot. But what are all those pieces and how do we break it down? And so now you've got some really natural ways to break it down because you've got, all right, we've got the content piece, we've got the promotional plan, we've got the technical bits, like you've got all these chunks, so you can break it down. And then you've got to think about dependencies. Like you could probably start the promotional part, but you can't do anything, you know, to upload till the book's written, but you can do the promotional part. So you got to think about what are all your dependencies and all of that. And then you've got to start and you keep breaking it down. And I like to take things down to action items. And what I tell people is if you look at an action item and you think, where do I start with that? You haven't broken it down enough. It needs to be something that is super clear. I like a one sentence with a verb. Don't just leave this sort of hazy thought. So you want to say, so like, let's say we break it down into the content part. Maybe what you say is, all right, I want to get the book written in, I don't know, 8 weeks. And so you've got 8 weeks to write that. And we've got to think about how do you want to approach that? Do you want to get up and write every day for a certain chunk of time? Do you already know what the chapters are? So you want to work on a chapter a week? Or so we've got to like figure out for your project what that is. So you end up with an action item that is write for an hour, or, you know, write the outline for chapter 8, or write the whatever it is. And then you've got to break down all your promotional stuff. And I think you and I worked actually on your promotional plan for your first book, Unmute Yourself. And so there was all sorts of action items mm-hmm. that we had to break down. But you want to have those action items such that when you look at that, you know exactly what you need to do. Because if it's too fuzzy and you don't know what it is, if it's too big, you won't do it. Right. If it's, you just push it off again. So it needs to be down to that kind of level. And it needs to fit in everything else you're doing. So there's, you know, there's a lot to consider when you're pulling that action plan together. And then once we have the action plan, we've got to think about the resources. So your book is another good example, because when you start doing things like uploading it to Amazon or whatever, like, do you need to bring somebody in to do that? Do we need to line up somebody for that? Mm-hmm. When you've got the title, do you need a graphic designer to do that? And if so, where do we bring them into the whole thing? And then the promotional thing. So there's a lot with that. And are you hiring a PR person? Are we hiring this? Like, what are we doing? So really starting to get a handle on the resources you're going to need to actually get it done. Because if you wait till you get to that point, like, okay, this week I'm supposed to do the cover, and then you start looking for a designer, now you're pushed off weeks and weeks and weeks. Yep. So you might have to take care of some of those resources early on. So we do the resources, and then finally planning ahead for obstacles. What is going to be the problem? So maybe it's, well, I have a real problem sitting down and writing every day. So let's think about like how we want to address that. Or I had a problem last time I did this with this part, or, you know, whatever it is. So we think ahead about the obstacles so that we can plan for them and try and head them off before they become a big issue.
I love it. So I have like 3 pages of notes. So let's drill down on this, because I'm very passionate about this. So this is for people who are in corporate and people who work for themselves. When you manage a major project, and for if you're in business for yourself, this could be a game changer. It could be whether or not your business lives or dies. People don't have to do what you ask them to do. So here's what I mean by that. One of the greatest lessons that I learned in working with Kathleen was that I needed to line up resources. And I'm, as you know, we talked about it, I am not a details person. So I can't go to a VA or a marketing guru or my web designer. I think you might help me with my website too. And say, hey, this all needs to be done by tomorrow. Like, that's how I operate. They won't do it. They don't have to do it. They'll say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can turn it around or a photo shoot or whatever the case may be. You have to plan. You have to plan in your business. And winging it was my jam for 25 years. I mean, of course I would plan. So what I'll do is I'll plan, and then I'll get over it. And so then I'll be almost ready. And then I'll go in and I'll wing it. That does not work in business for yourself. It doesn't. I've been burnt so many times. I have been burnt with slides that look crappy because I didn't get them to my slide polisher on time. So I have someone I work with who makes my slides pretty. I can do it. She does it much better. If I don't line up those resources, then I'm not doing my best work and I'm not worth what I'm charging.
Right.
Because I'm not doing it.
Right. Or you're stuck trying to figure out something that you have no idea what to do. And then
Exactly. Yeah. And the dependencies goes hand in hand with the resources that I can't. And that was a game changer too, that Kathleen taught me. Like, what is dependent on what? So that I can prioritize what needs to get done first. And if you're in business for yourself, feel free to disagree with me. Probably you are the first dependency. I have to do what I need to do before other people can do what they need to do.
Yes, you are the first dependency and you're the probable bottleneck.
100%. Yes. So talk about that. Talk about you being a bottleneck.
Well, you are. It's always you. It's always you. And so that's where the discipline thing comes in. You have to figure out execution. You have to. Or you're just never going to get very far.
So figure out execution, yes. Doesn't mean you need to execute yourself. I mean, doesn't it mean you need to be the one executing?
Well, you may have pieces of it that you do have to.
Yeah.
And so you need to figure out what it's going to take to get you to do the things that you have to do. Because I mean, I have people all the time that say, well, I can't get out of my own way. And I'm like, all right, like,
have a nice day then.
Yeah. Like at some point, like you've got to do something. Like if we've outsourced everything can outsource. And then at some point, the things that you have to do to kind of get all the balls rolling, it's your thought leadership, your writing, whatever, like you've got to do that piece. And so what is it going to take? So is it that you need an accountability partner? Is it, do you need a coach calling you every week? Do you need an assistant sitting there with you? Like, what do you need? Because your answer can't be to shrug your shoulders and say, oh, I just get in my way all the time. Like, you've got to, if you want to get these big things done, you've got to get yourself out of the way and do the things that you need to do. And so you've got to figure out what it's going to take to help you do that. And that's what you've got to figure out. You've got to figure that out.
Or don't do it, right? Like,
don't do it.
I have a VA. She is amazing. Her nickname is Wonder Woman. She's amazing. And she'll come back to me sometimes several weeks in a row and say, so where are we with this? And I'll say, I didn't do anything. And at some point I just have to say, you know what? I'm going to take it off my list for whatever reason. I'm blocked. And if it's important enough and she keeps coming back to me, then I need to just get over myself and do it. And it's usually something that would take me 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes.
The things we stress over. And then it's like, oh, that was nothing.
And I spent more time and I actually, this is a part of the time blocking too. I spend more time rewriting stuff when I'm not on my game and creating more to-do lists than if I just executed on what I had said I was going to execute on. So that's fascinating. The other thing you said, when you break it down to very clear, specific action tasks, for me, it makes it palatable. Like, oh, right. Okay. Now I know exactly what I need to do.
Right. And it's a small thing, so it's not overwhelming. Yep. So taking it to the corporate world, so the client I was mentioning, she had trouble executing on the things that she needed to execute on. And so we kept kind of talking through all the possibilities and we figured out what she needed in order to get everything done. And that was every Monday, her assistant, and then she ended up hiring somebody else, sat in her office and they went through all the things. And there was a lot of things that they could do in the moment and they would do. And then the blocking, the other things, but that's what it ended up.
Yep.
System we put in place was to have the person like literally sitting there and they together worked through everything. So that's what we finally put in place for her. So yeah, you just have to figure out what's the system that's going to help you or get you to do all the things you need to do.
Yeah. And there's no shame in that. So this one piece that this really could, I could double my income if I did this thing that's on my list. I could double it easily. It is a no brainer. So yet I still don't do it. So my next step, and I just haven't done it yet, but I will, is to set up a time with my VA and say, let's do it together. And I've done that before. I've been like, I'm not going to do it. Let's just do it together. And that's the only way I'll do it. I don't know why. And you know what? Instead of doing the soul searching and trying to figure it out, it is what it is. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. So either do it or move on.
Right.
Right. Anyway, I'm preaching to the choir over there. So the 12 weeks. So go back to the 12 weeks. So what else?
Well, so then there's talking about execution. So you've got the plan, we've got it all broken down, and now we've got to stay on track. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about execution. The other piece of the execution, I think, is what you and I do every week together, which is weekly planning. Mm-hmm. We have a little group that we do that with.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So weekly planning is just preparing for your week. And I have a little process that I worked out, and starting with the time piece. So first of all, you've got to like figure out your schedule for the week. We go through our calendar, make sure that we've got all the things on there that need to be on there. It's so often we look at our calendar at the last minute and realize we've got conflicts or we didn't block for travel time or things like that. So this is keeping us sort of looking ahead on our calendar. And by the time you get through that little section, now time-wise, what your week looks like. And then we go through all of the tasks. And so if you've got these goals set, you've got these action plans, you can go through those, make sure. And this is what's really great about this 12-week planning and the weekly planning is now you are actually looking at your plan on a weekly basis. And mm-hmm. that's also going to help you execute because you've got your eyes on it. And even if 1 week you get off course, like for instance, this week, I have no power at my house. So my whole week's a little bit in upheaval, but I have got this written plan. And so I know it's going to be really easy for me to step back on track because it's all there and I'm looking at it every week. So even when I get off because of whatever's going on in my life, I can get back on. So then you figure out, all right, these are all the things I need to get done next week. And now your favorite time blocking. All right. And you know what? I look at this. My whole day Tuesday is open. I'm going to work on this big hunk of a project. Or I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We do all of those things. And then we also incorporate a lot of other things around managing our business, like taking a look at numbers, follow up on networking. So we have a lot other that we, you know, kind of call them our CEO activities. We have a few other things that we incorporate during that time period. But the main gist of it is to take control of our time. And so it's when are we working next week? And what are we going to do during that time? Yep. And what's nice is when you build a habit around that, and we've got people here that we do this with, they've been doing this for years. So we've got a really solid habit around it. And so it's nice to be able to sort of habit stack other things in there that you need to do at the same time, which is how we ended up adding money things or networking things. And some people go straight from that into working on some of their content. So it's like the things that you need to do on a weekly basis. Like if you build that habit, then you can kind of just tuck them in there at the same time because you've got that habit down solid.
So Podsters, now you know why I love Kathleen. I had written down habit stack because I wanted to talk about that. Planning your week ahead of time, too much on plate, and take control of your time. So that is what I've written down. I want to talk about habit stacking because one of the things that I do in addition to that. So for those of you who don't know what it is, it means taking something that you usually do or that's a habit and adding something along with it. I'm going to give you a really simple example. You probably brush your teeth every day. So if you want to... What's that? Vitamin?
Vitamin.
Okay. So let's say you brush your teeth every day and you want to get better at taking vitamins. You take your vitamin right after you brush your teeth. So it's something that you're already doing. Another thing I do, this is one of my favorite hacks, is I will ritualize something that I want to make a habit. So I'll make it like super bougie fun. So we all know I love my journal, my own little journals that I make. I will light a candle. I'll dim the lights. I'll light a fire if it's the winter, or I'll go sit outside if it's the summer. I'll brew a cup of coffee. And my first cup of coffee of the day, I will spend journaling in this super chill environment. And I love it. And I like to journal, but I don't always do it. So in order for me to look forward to doing it and to make sure I do it, I make it really pleasurable. So I call that ritualizing. I might've made that up.
You've sent me pictures of your coffee cup and your candle early in the morning. So I love that.
Yeah. The other thing I like, so I think this is important to note. So when I plan my week, when Kathleen plans her week, when the people do, we do this on Friday so we can plan for the following week. That was a game changer for me as well. Cause I used to plan on Monday. I would block the first couple hours on Monday, right? By then you're already overwhelmed. You're already in it. You're reactive. If you need to move something, now you're inconveniencing someone. There's no time. You can't be proactive. Then you're managing your week. If you do it on a Friday or a Thursday or a Sunday, whenever you want to, maybe Saturday, whatever, whenever you want to do it, you can then plan your week, not just manage it. You can plan it. And what I like is I can look across my week, and something Kathleen said in passing that I know she says a lot is working it into your life and what's going on in your life. So I can look at my whole week and say, you know what? I'm out of pocket that whole day because of something going on in my personal life. I'm going to move that appointment. I'm going to reschedule something else. I'm not going to have anything major on my plate after that because I know I'm going to be drained. And I can really look at the best use of my energy and how it fits into my life, which is a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm with you. I started off doing that on Mondays, and I found Mondays to be a disaster because of that. It took me like half the day it was just a wreck. And then I had for a hot minute backed it up to Sunday. And I'm like, I'm not working on Sunday. That was like family time, my time. Right. Then I backed it to Friday. And that's the sweet spot. Friday is wonderful for that.
Yep. One of the reasons why we both like this planner. So I have a journal and I have a planner. The journal is my personal stuff. It's strictly personal. Used to have some work stuff in there and I decided to take that out. The planner that Kathleen and I both use, one of the things I love about it is you list your top three priorities for the week. And I really like that because it forces me to think about not every day. This week, how will I know I was really successful and crushed the week? What are my top three priorities? I do that professionally. And then I use some other space in the journal. I don't know, in the planner, I don't know if you do this, to also do that personal. Here are the top three things I want to accomplish in my business. here are the top three things I want to accomplish in my personal. And if I can get 3 and 3, great. If I get 2 out of 3 and 2 out of 3, also great. And it's my true north for the week. So when I look, and that's at the top of the week, literally at the top of this journal, so that everything filters down from that.
Yep. Same. Yeah, no, that's, and I think about that when we're doing our planning time on Friday mornings, because I do jot in my top priorities and I write those at the top of the page on my Monday. This is my most important thing. I got to get, this is what I want to get done for the week.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me more about 12-week planning. What didn't we cover? Because my whole thing is time blocking. And if you can master that, that's 90% of the,
I think the other thing to realize is that over the course of the year, you get so much more done, because instead of pushing things off for months and months, you're focused on these shorter spurts. You get things done and then you get more things done. And so over time, you get so much more done. I mean, I look at the people that I've helped with this, and clients and people around me that do that, and they are just going and going and going. They are moving because they get a lot accomplished.
They're moving, and I am so not stressed.
Yeah.
When I do this, because again, I'm not recycling my to-do list, and it's going from day to day to day, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger because I'm overwhelmed, or I feel overwhelmed. It, when I block out the time, I'm like, oh, that's handled. Like, it doesn't have to all be today. Your to-do list doesn't all have to be done today. And right. I grew up in the corporate world thinking, oh my God, everything on my to-do list, I need to bang it out today. Nope. I can do that Thursday. I can do that Wednesday. But just this morning, there's something that I need to do. We're recording this on a Tuesday, and I'm like, oh, I'll do that on Thursday. Rather than thinking I have to do it all today, it is a game changer in terms of my stress level.
Right. And I think just having the plan eliminates a lot of the overwhelm, because what's on the list now, yeah, even if it's not done, you know what it is. I think the stress comes from not knowing what's mm-hmm. there. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what I don't know. That's what I think adds so much stress. But once you know what it is, then you can start to manage it and figure it out. So I think, I think that's an important point. I think you also get a lot better at assessing how long things take you when you're looking at it and planning. You get better at that. I think you get a lot better at that, because in the beginning you're like, oh, I'm going to get all these things done. And then over time you really get a better handle on how long things are going to take.
You do. And maybe you push it to Q2. Okay. Like, again, I would be like, well, I want to do this and this, and I want to do it all in January. It's not possible. Simply not possible. The other thing I want to touch on again before we wrap is this 12-week planning. And if you have people that work with you, whatever your support team looks like, it's not fair to them to manage to deadlines. That's not to manage to urgency. That's not fair. It is not fair to me to ask somebody to do their best work to support me and for me to give them 24 hours to do it. That it's not fair. And not only will it bite me in the ass, it makes people not want to work with me. And I want only the best people working with me. So I need to give them the respect and the tools so that they can do their best work, and that we can make sure we're showing up the best way we can. And the only way to do that is to plan.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because I have the same thing. I mean, I have a VA and a social media person. And yeah, I have to be respectful of their process as well and their time frame. And yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody loves a last minute person all the time. You get an emergency once in a while. You're allowed one or two here and there, but you can't be doing that all the time.
No, it's no way to live.
And you're going to get yourself fired as a client.
True. Yes. Yep. Okay. So any parting words of wisdom, advice, strategies for people? It's January. It's new year, new me energy. Everybody wants to save the world this month. Any advice on how to tackle those big lofty goals?
Well, one thing that actually we didn't touch on, and I was going to say, if you're going to do that, is like looking back, the reflection, which is something that we love to do as well. So I would take some time, kind of look back at how the last few months have gone, what went well, what didn't so much, what were your missed opportunities, what did you procrastinate over, all those things. And that's going to help you look forward as you assess all of that. And then you can, I say, just do it. I mean, putting that structure in place just really supports you, no matter whether you're in the corporate world or in the entrepreneurial space. It's going to help you manage all the things you're trying to manage. It's going to help you hit those goals that you're setting for yourself and move everything forward. I just say, just do it. Just do it. Do the thing.
Just do it. Do the thing. Well, that is a awesome ending. What am I linking people to in the show notes? I know I'm going to link them to your website.
My website. And right now I have a free download. It's a reflection worksheet. So you can grab that, and it's a good place to start and look back at what you've been doing so that you can start to figure out what you're going to do going forward.
What did I say when we met? What did I say about the reflection, the questions? I said,
love that. I think one of the ones most recently, you were talking about procrastination. So that was the... because one of the questions in there is, what did you procrastinate over? Yeah. And what's funny, because because I did my reflection with my accountability partner, and we both had the things like, oh my gosh, like this thing is still hanging over my head. And so it caused us to take action on it. We had something that had been hanging out there. And when you actually kind of put it in your face, and it makes you want to take care of it and do something about it. That's what I finally did.
Or yes, that's what it was, the procrastination. Like if I keep procrastinating the same thing, we talked about this earlier, get it off my plate somehow, either outsource it or forget it.
Yep,
forget it.
Absolutely. Like you can't, like how long are you going to procrastinate over something? Either do it or get rid of it.
And own the consequences, right? Like this thing that I keep procrastinating that could be a game changer, I either need to do it or forget it and say, you know what? That kind of revenue, that kind of growth is not that important to me. Which of course
right
it
now,
is.
Right now. Well, you know what? Or it goes on your longer term list.
Oh, I like that too. Yeah.
And it's funny because I was just looking at my long-term list and I like three of the things on there I did this year. And I was like, oh, I did that. That's great. Just to hold on to those and kind of look at them once in a while. And when the time's right, you know, then you can take action on them.
I call that my eventually.
Eventually.
I have a list of eventually. Yep.
Oh, I like that. Cool. I'm going to change my name. Mine says long-term ideas, but I like eventually, because that feels a little bit more like it's definitely going to happen.
Eventually, right?
Eventually.
Words matter.
Yeah. I'm going to change my list title. I like that.
Oh, see, I love it when Kathleen does something that she heard from me, because it just makes me feel a little more equal in my worship of how she does what she does. Kathleen, thank you so much. Peace out, Podsters. Lots of links in the bio. 2024 is going to be epic. Hey, did you pick a word?
No, I haven't yet. I was thinking about you, though, because I was thinking about a word that you've used a few times in the past years.
What? You can take it.
Thrive.
Ah, that's my favorite.
That. I know.
I use it every year. You take it. Take it.
I'm feeling like that's like 2024 energy for me.
Great.
We'll see.
Thrive, take it. I got all kinds of Thrive stuff if you want it. Like placards. I have one right here. Placards, bracelets, mantras, the whole thing. So with that, Podsters, we hope you thrive in 2024. Lots more coming, and peace out. That's a wrap, Podsters. And before we go, I ask you, what's one thing from today's episode that you'll use this week to unmute yourself? DM me, email me, send a smoke signal, whatever you need to do. Let me know what you're going to do differently. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone you know and leave a 5-star review on Apple. This helps me spread our message of empowerment to more people worldwide. Let's do this.